What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
What's going on, everybody? This is BGN Radio, episode number 196. Who cares? Day 3 of Philadelphia Eagles training camp is in the books. Hot day today. Short practice, only went an hour and 10 minutes today. Tomorrow, we have a practice that begins at 5:30 p.m., which is way out of the ordinary for one that's just at the NovaCare Complex, as opposed to like an open, fans invited kind of practice at Lincoln Financial Field. Anyway, I'm Jimmy Kemsky from PhillyVoice.com. With me, as always, is Brandon Lee Gowton of Bleeding Green Nation. How are you holding up there, buddy?
Jimmy, day 3, and we have some big news to get to here at the top of the podcast. But before we get into that, I need to mention that BGN Radio brought to you by Right to Sell and Craft Jerky. Go to righttosell.com, discount code BGN15 for 15% off. Same discount code at wildnaturepet.com for 15% off dog treats. Jimmy, it's time to commit a huge sin and talk about a player who used to play for the Eagles that we're right. Not allowed to talk about anymore legally, but we have to today.
Yeah, there is nothing that happened in Eagles training camp today that's more important than what happened today in Colts training camp, which is that Carson Wentz is out indefinitely with a foot injury. And actually, just the latest tweets that I saw here, excuse me one second while I bring these up, from Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter and the like. It looks like, okay, so Mike Garafolo treated. Update on Colts quarterback Carson Wentz. He will see noted foot specialist Robert Anderson in the near future, sources tell me in Rap Sheet. I don't know exactly what he meant to say, but he's got a typo here. But he says a timeline for his return will be established at that point. For now, the team is taking solace in week one still being 6 weeks away. And then Ian Rappaport quote tweets that saying, all options are on the table, including a minor surgical procedure. The hope is to avoid it, but it's possible. Either way, if Carson Wentz misses games, it's not likely to be many. So, like, initially it was like, okay, there aren't so the Colts, like, I guess one of their local reporters said, the Colts don't seem so concerned about it. Like, you know, it's only July. It's, you know, they're 6 weeks away. It'll be fine. And then it's gotten sort of, as the reports have sort of trickled in throughout the day, it's gotten progressively worse. And this matters, of course, not because it's Carson Wentz and he used to be the Eagles quarterback and we're going to compare him versus Jalen Hurts for the foreseeable future. It matters because the Eagles' second round pick from the Colts becomes a first round pick if, and you already know all this, but if Wentz plays 70% of the games and the Colts make the playoffs, or
snaps.
He plays 75% of the snaps, whether they make the playoffs or not. So, not good for the Eagles' potential for that second round pick to become a first round pick. And, you know, Brandon, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Mr. Wentz is an injury prone fella. And it would seem that he's unvaccinated, as he has refused to answer any questions about vaccinations. And he's been masked up for all of his press conferences. So there's, you know, two things now that could potentially keep him from playing as many snaps as possible this season. Not good.
Yeah, not great for the Eagles' sake of getting a first-round pick in 2022. Maybe kind of a little sigh of relief for the Eagles themselves, the front office, like the people who traded him, kind of not having to worry potentially about him, like having this awesome season right, where everything right. goes right, and they're like kicking themselves, which I don't really think, you know, I'm not thinking about as much because I don't really see that happening. But the first round pick angle is certainly concerning. And as I've said to you, I think maybe, I don't know if we talked about this when we were talking about Wentz the other day, but I think I did. It's like that pick is really significant because that pick could go a long way in determining who the next Eagles quarterback might be. Yeah. So it's like this, it's a decision. It's a, it's not like this thing that kind of has like short-term implications. This could have very, very long-term and very significant, meaningful implications for the Eagles franchise as a whole. So we'll see. At the very least, Jimmy, I think it's worth noting that, you know, even if like the best case scenario here, realistically, and Wentz is back in a couple weeks, or he is back by week one, like at the very least, he seems like he's going to be missing training camp, right, or at least a good chunk of it, which is significant because he's working with new teammates. And I know he's worked with Frank Reich before, but it's still not like, it's not the exact Eagles 2017 offense. Like, it's a new system. So he's trying to learn all that. And the Eagles, or the Colts, all NFL teams really already had shortened off seasons to begin with. So, like, this is less time for him to get like all that under his belt. And I think that's significant too when you look at their schedule early on, which I just pulled up here. And the Colts start the season, Jimmy, with the Seahawks, the Rams, the Titans, and the Dolphins, and the Ravens, before then getting kind of a little bit of respite with the Texans there. So that's like five kind of tough games out of the gate that Carson Wentz isn't necessarily even, like, is he going to even be available for all of those? We don't know. And if he is, he's not going to have, like, all the time in the world to kind of get ready for it. So not the best thing for the Colts. I also wanted to mention that.
Oh, it's not good for the Colts. That's for sure.
Not good for the Colts.
We're like, from our perspective, we know we're looking at it from the perspective of the Eagles and, you know, the potential loss of a first round pick and getting a second round pick instead. But from their perspective, they just gave up picks for this guy that might not even be ready for the start of the season. Won't get it, as you mentioned, like won't like may not play at all really during training camp. And, you know, we're talking about a guy here that he's smart, like he's intelligent, he can learn an offense. And, you know, even in 2016, he had that injury in the first preseason game, which kind of held him out from there on, you know, from then until basically the start of the season. So it's not totally out of the ordinary for him to, I mean, yeah, obviously the first, what, 3-4 weeks of training camp leading up to that, maybe like 2-3 weeks of training camp leading up to that first preseason game. So he did get that under his belt at least. But I mean, you're going from one team to another. You got to learn this offense and you're trying to sort of mesh with your teammates and all that kind of thing. Certainly his teammates are going to have questions about, you know, the kind of person that he is. So, you know, all these training camp practices are opportunities to sort of gel with those guys and he's going to miss out on all that. So, yeah, not a great situation for them having given up their picks, and they have a good roster, and you know, and they're sort of counting on this quarterback to at least be good enough to be able to, you know, keep the to be able to, you know, make the most of this good roster that they have otherwise. And now they're starting what, Jacob Eason, I think I saw, which, like,
yeah,
I didn't look up his stats or anything. I don't know what kind of experience he even has in the NFL. Did you happen to look that up by any chance? Yeah, none. He's so he's played at all. Okay,
he's a 4th round pick last year, number 122 overall, and his college numbers weren't like especially great or anything either. I think he was at Georgia before transferring to like Washington State or Washington or something. Yeah, so not great. I did want to say otherwise in Colts camp, which again is relevant to the Eagles in terms of, like, let's say Carson Wentz does end up playing, the Eagles do get the pick, or even if they don't, and it could be a high second rounder potentially, like you're hoping for if Wentz doesn't hit the threshold. I mean, the Colts have kind of just had like a disruptive camp so far, other than Wentz.
With the vaccination stuff. Yeah.
They're the second lowest team in vaccination rate, but also here I'm seeing Adam Schefter tweet this out. You know, Frank Reich tested positive for COVID. I forgot about that. That's kind of like a disruption. Too, yeah. And Doug Peterson had it last year.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And obviously, like, that wasn't the best thing. It's not the only reason the Eagles season went awry, but, like, you know, it's not like, again, the best environment here. It's just another disruptive thing, as is their starting center, Ryan Kelly, is out at least 2 weeks with a hyperextended elbow. So that's another thing. Like, he's not even working with Wentz. Like, the quarterback and the center aren't even like fully getting reps here. And then Darius Leonard, who's obviously a big star for them, hasn't been practicing due to an ankle injury. So really not the best start for the Colts, which could be good for the Eagles if, you know, maybe they get that first round pick.
Maybe they get a high two.
Play.
Maybe
yeah, or like a high two. So
37th overall pick or something like that.
Yeah.
By the way, we didn't mention, by the way, on the Dolphins front too, with their first round pick. I don't think we mentioned this on the pod anyway.
No.
Cornerback Xavien Howard officially requested a trade from the Dolphins. So, I mean, even if the Dolphins get something good in return, you would think it'd be like draft pick compensation, but that's not going to help them in the short term, which helps the Eagles.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, why would the Dolphins already have a ton of picks already trade him for more picks? But anyway.
Well, I mean, if he's well, I mean, the I bet the outcome probably is going to be he's just going to play for them this year, because, like you said, they're trying to win right now, And he's a good player. And at this point in the season, you're probably not going to get that much for him anyway. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, I guess, at the, you know, near the trade deadline 2 years ago, basically got two first round picks. The Rams traded two first round picks to the Jaguars for him. So he was a couple years younger than Xavien Howard is now. So Xavien Howard won't get that kind of return for the Dolphins. But yeah, it's certainly good news for the Eagles to have arguably, like, is he their best player? Is he Miami's best player on their roster? Maybe.
I would say so. But so, to me, I feel like we got to get into the Eagles now. Yeah. This is 10 minutes in. We're right. Not even talking about
the Eagles training camp
practice.
All right. Let's do it the way that we did it yesterday was we'll just kind of go back and forth noting things that we thought that were of importance that happened during practice. So Brandon, go ahead, lead us off.
Yeah, I'll start us off with, I mean, shocker coming from me again, but Joe Flacco, Jimmy, I am just, it becomes more perplexing each day that this, I cannot understand why they gave him the money. He just stinks to me, man. Based on what I've seen out of him in training camp so far, I think he has been bad. I think today was his worst day. He was really inaccurate. He missed a number of throws. He overthrew 6'7" Tyree yes. Jackson at one point.
Yes.
I saw him overthrow a couple other people, even just in individual drills, which, you know, that doesn't mean everything, but like, I'm just not seeing the accuracy at all. And like, to contextualize this, this isn't new for Joe Flacco. He completed just 55.2% of his attempts last year. That was a career low. And then if you look at adjusted completion percentage that PFF calculates, and that, like, you know, takes out drops and everything and takes out quarterback spikes, like, it actually helps boost the quarterback's numbers for stuff that isn't their fault. He was 41st out of 42, only above Jalen Hurts. So, like, this isn't new for him. I just think he hasn't been really – I just have not been impressed with him at all. He had one good throw that I saw to Michael Walker at one point where he rolled left and he hit him, and that was nice. But, like, I've just seen way more bad than good out of Joe Flacco.
He had another throw in the red zone where he basically just threw into heavy traffic, and Zach McPherson got – I mean, it should have been a pick. Like, it should have been an easy pick, and McPherson dropped it. But that was, I thought, his worst throw of the day. Just ahead of the throw that you mentioned where he met, like, he wildly overthrew Tyree Jackson in the back of the end zone. I mean, he's still the favorite, in my opinion, to win the number two quarterback job because, again, as we mentioned previously, he's got a $3.5 million guaranteed contract, whereas Nick Mullins is making less than a million. He's got $200,000 guaranteed. So really what I've seen out of all the quarterbacks so far, from Flacco to Hurts to Mullins, is they're just dinking and dunking all over the field. Like, have you really seen them open it up at all?
It was
like
really
the one, I can think of, like, the one deep throw from Hurts to Devontae Smith on, was that yesterday? That was day two, right? But beyond that, like, I haven't seen them really take any shots down the field at all. It's been kind of crazy.
That was kind of like last year too, though. So that's kind of weird. Like, I remember last year, it didn't seem like there were a ton of deep shots, especially early on in camp. Maybe we'll see that open up as camp goes along. But yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think Flacco especially does like to check down, though. I've seen him do that. That was my takeaway from him day one. And I actually kind of said it as a positive because, like, he'll check it down when there's, like, nothing there. And, like, he doesn't try to force it, which I guess can have value sometimes, but not very exciting to watch.
All right, so moving on from the quarterbacks, you done with them?
For now, yeah.
All right, so we sort of criticized Andre Dillard pretty heavily yesterday after the day two practice, and I thought he was better today, but there was, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but there was a less than encouraging moment from him, in my opinion, in which Derek Barnett got his hands up in Dillard's face, and he, like, kind of, it was a clear hands to the face penalty, no question. And, you know, kind
on
of
Derek Barnett, no way.
On
a penalty,
he pushed Dillard's helmet, like, up, you know, sort of over his head. And Dillard took himself out of the practice, and he didn't, like, get any kind of medical attention. He's just kind of strolling around on the side. And, like, the first team, he was with the first team offense today. Mailata was with the second team offense, as they've sort of taken turns as we've gone along here so far. But the first team offense, like, wasn't done. They were still on the field, and he took himself out, and, like, he didn't get any kind of, like, medical attention or anything like that. He was just kind of, like, he didn't seem to be, like, you know, favoring his face in any way. Like, he was, like, his face was hurt, but he just took himself out for some reason instead of just staying in and, you know, trying to you know, continue to play. And I don't know exactly what the purpose for him taking himself out was, but he took himself out and he didn't return for like a series. He came back in eventually, but I thought that was a really weird moment. And like, I think it's fair to sort of question his toughness after a play like that. And again, like I said, like I thought he played better than he did yesterday. Like yesterday, he was just getting wrecked in one-on-ones by, you know, Barnett and Sweat. And, you know, even guys like Teron Jackson during 11 and 11s was sort of, you know, taking advantage of him. So I thought he played better today, but that was still a moment that, that you know, I think was just kind of concerning to me.
I didn't see that specifically. I did see a moment, though, where Andre Dillard kind of tweaked his ankle. I don't know if you saw that at one point.
Oh, yes. There was a play. Actually, that was right after he came back in from strolling around on the sideline. And Jannard Avery, I think it was a screen to the opposite side of the field, if I recall, on that play. But he was still trying to block Jannard Avery from the backside. And Avery just kind of whipped him on that. Like, just, it was a strong, it was a nice, like, quick inside move by Avery. And Dillard whiffed. And like you said, he did kind of come up lame. Looked like his foot, maybe. But
He hopped around on his one leg for a little bit. Like, ooh, yeah. You know, kind of looked like he might have rolled his ankle or something, or at least that kind of reaction. He stayed in, so that was good to see in that case. That I was, you know, good for him that he didn't come out in that case. But that's the only really thing I noticed from him big today.
Yeah,
I guess that he hurt himself while dropping back.
I guess he didn't feel like he could take himself out again right away. Like that would have been, you know, that would have been bad. But Mailata, I thought, played decent enough today. We had some guys out today because it was maintenance day, which means it was an old guy day, and you were a jerk and you replied to me on Twitter saying I should have been on that list too if it was old guy day. But there were some guys on the offensive line that that didn't play, like Jason Kelce was out today. Lane Johnson was out today. Their replacements today were Jack Driscoll at right tackle, as you would expect, and Luke Jauriga got the first reps at center. And by the way, a lot of people think that Jauriga is actually having a good camp so far, which is interesting because there's not a lot of spots on the roster for a guy like him to stick. But it'll be interesting if he makes it impossible for them to cut him.
Yeah, I would say he's benefiting from Landon Dickerson not practicing, you know, because I think it would be Dickerson in instead of him right now. So, you know, get some extra reps, get a chance to shine. Obviously, he received the biggest guarantee of any Eagles undrafted rookie free agent signing, I believe, last year. Okay. And they kept him around, and he was the top center when Jason Kelce got hurt in the Browns game last year. You know, so there's some kind of, like, thought that they like him a little bit, at least. You know, not just, like, an afterthought.
Right.
Entirely. What else did I have here? Well, something that I noticed on defense, Jimmy, was Davion Taylor, once again, linebacker one. And it seems to me that there's like a three-way battle for the other starting linebacker spot, because on day one, it was Eric Wilson as the Davion Taylor. On day two, it was TJ Edwards. And today, it was Sean Bradley as the middle linebacker.
Yeah.
And specifically, like, I saw Sean Bradley, like, you know, like setting the defense up, like getting the play in and everything from the sideline. I don't think they quite trust Davion Taylor with that so much. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's, you know, where he's going to shine.
That. He's too inexperienced for that.
I mean,
he's almost barely played at all in the NFL, and he only had, like, you know, basically a year and a half in college. And he didn't barely play at all in high school because of his religious beliefs.
But it is just kind of funny, though, because he's just like, he's the primary linebacker in some of these packages, and like they don't necessarily have him doing that. But
I think that's smart, though. Like, keep giving him as many reps as they possibly can, because now is the time to do it, as opposed to actually in real games. And if he shows that, you know, he can improve a lot throughout camp, and he deserves to play when the real games come around, then great. And if not, then okay, well, that's fine too. But because at least you got him a lot of reps and maybe gave him some confidence and you know, let him learn on the job.
I thought he had a really good play of the day, and spoiler alert, it is my play of the day.
Is it?
Which we'll get to later. Because I skimmed through your notes, and you kind of had charted it more as a drop for Miles Sanders, and I think that was part of it. I here's how I saw the play. I saw it as kind of a low throw from Jalen Hurts into the front right corner of the end zone during red zone drills. I think it was low a little bit intentionally to try to, you know, make sure only the pass catcher could get it and not like the defender didn't have a chance on it. Even still, I don't think it was the best pass I've ever seen. And Miles Sanders did have a chance to catch it. And he had it in his hands at one point as he was going to the ground too. And I think the way that Davion Taylor came and kind of just like flattened him and almost like full out tackled him, which isn't great. In the sense of like, this isn't like that, you know, they don't have the pads on yet. But if it was a real game, that's exactly what you would want to see. And he made sure Sanders wasn't able to kind of like recover it or hold on to it as he was going to the ground. And I just think like the closing speed, you know, we talk about or we hear about like one of the big appeals of Davion Taylor is how fast he is. And I saw it there, the way he kind of was able to keep with Sanders and also kind of fly in and make sure like he finished the play there. I thought that was really encouraging. Like we've seen Davion Taylor running with the first team, but I haven't really like noticed him a ton actually doing positive things so far. I also thought he had another good, I think, run stop today where he kind of just like blew up a play or was quick to the ball. So kind of seeing more activity from him, and that's a good sign.
We have more Wentz news, and you guys will probably have already seen this by the time this is published, but Mike Silver says, I'm told the Wentz foot injury involves a bone and a ligament. Colts have been hoping for better news, are bracing for possible surgery.
So Jimmy, when do the Colts trade for Nick Foles?
How about Joe Flacco?
I mean, sure, do it.
Foles is funnier though. Like, imagine they did. Imagine they traded for Nick Foles.
They can't do it. They can't. It can't happen. Like,
and it would kind of make sense because of the Frank Wright connection there too. So like, oh my God.
It makes total sense from the Colts trying to win. It makes no sense from them being committed to Wentz. Like if they trade for Foles, then they're just taking the L on Wentz. Like it's over already.
Oh my God. It's just, like these reports just keep getting worse and worse and worse as the day goes along. It's crazy. All right, let's take a quick break here and we'll come back and we'll sort of finish out our Eagles training camp notes. Do we want to hear something about Righteous Felon though first?
Righteous Felon Craft Jerky. Go get it by going to righteousfelon.com. It's great. You need it as the Eagles are starting to play real games soon. And honestly, probably the best thing to eat too, if you're reading my practice notes on bleedinggreennation.com or Jimmy's practice notes on phillyvoice.com, it's just like the perfect accompaniment to those. So get yourself some Righteous Felon Craft Jerky by going to righteousfelon.com using discount code BGN15, same discount code at wildnaturepet.com for 15% off dog treats. Jimmy.
Yeah, and if you're looking to buy or sell a house, Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors, 856-906-9295. Brandon?
Back after this.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Back here on BGN Radio, our training camp day 3 edition. Jimmy, what is your next observation since I left off with Davian Taylor?
Oh, real quick. There's another tweet.
Another tweet.
He just kind of recaps the Colts camp so far, and it's pretty much everything that you already said. But yeah. He has a bullet pointed. New quarterback Carson Wentz out indefinitely with a foot injury. Pro Bowl center Ryan Kelly out at least 2 weeks with a hyperextended elbow. Head coach Frank Reich tested positive for COVID. Linebacker Darius Leonard not practicing due to ankle injury. Uh-huh. So he heard you somehow. He heard our podcast before.
Well, that was Schefter. Yeah, I was citing Schefter and tweeted that out.
Okay.
What's your next thing?
Gotcha. All right. So I would say, well, I guess we left off what on the defense. You know who I like, by the way, so far is Josiah Scott.
Yeah. He had that pick on the first day.
He had a pick on the first day. He sort of wrestled it away from Kenny Gainwell. And then today he had a play where Jason Huntley was sort of late to get his head around on a swing pass. And he still might've had a chance to make the catch anyway, but sort of in the same way that you just mentioned with Davion Taylor, where like he just made sure that the play wasn't made once there was sort of, the opportunity to make sure that the play wasn't going to be made. And he just kind of violently attacked Huntley's hands sort of as the ball was arriving. And, he's a guy that is small. He's 5'9", 185. But what I've liked out of him so far, first of all, when I watched his Jaguars games, a few weeks ago, he was a really good tackler and he's a physical tackler. And I've seen that same physical nature of his sort of carry over early on into this Eagles camp. And I think he's going to be a decent player, at least like sort of a small like role player that he didn't play at all in special teams for the Jaguars last year, which is weird because I think he, sort of has that ability in him because he's a good tackler. And he's got good speed. Why wouldn't you be using him on special teams? Which I don't know why they weren't, but whatever. So I think there's maybe a role for that him here. And I think sort of as a backup slot corner, I think he's like a legitimate player. And I was sort of skeptical of the trade that they made for him. I mean, it's only a 6th-round pick, which, isn't like a huge deal. But, you don't want to just be giving your picks away for nothing. But after having seen him a little bit in camp and having watched his Jaguars tape, I actually do think that was a decent trade.
Maybe the Jaguars, who were the worst team in the NFL last year and then hired a very questionable head coach, right. Don't know what they're doing.
Right.
We'll see about that one. How do you feel about Jalen Hurts, Jimmy? Because I feel like today, I think I saw more good than bad. I wasn't overly blown away. I didn't actually have a ton of notes about him when I looked done like at what I had. I don't think there were any especially impressive highlight plays. A couple of nice throws in there. But, like, nothing that really blew me away. I did see he had a nice completion to Dallas Goedert in the front right corner of the end zone.
Yeah, that was his best throw of the day.
He hit Jason Kroom on, like, a back shoulder kind of catch at one point. He did overthrow Greg Ward terribly, kind of like in Carson Wentz fashion. Like, on an out route, way out of bounds.
Way over his head.
Yeah.
Like, Harold Carmichael would have had no chance of coming down with that throw.
See, I think he's been fine, but... Jimmy, I think, so all right, I wrote this in my article, and I'll say it now. I think you can make a case, I think you could argue, that Nick Mullins has been the best passer in Eagles training camp so far. Now, I want to make it clear that...
Passer,
and yeah. I'm not saying quarterback, because obviously a practice setting isn't friendly, to a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, who obviously has a lot of mobile ability and isn't going to be able to realistically showcase that all, or at least valuably, because the defense can't touch him. But I think you're just looking from a passing standpoint, and we're counting that it's just the 3 days of practice. I just think Mullins has been the best passer. Not that even he has done like anything incredible. It's just that he's been like accurate. He's gotten the ball out quick. And I think he had the 6th quickest time to throw last year, so there he kind of has a track record of doing that. Yeah. And then
that
he just hasn't made
is like favorable for that though too.
Sure. But he hasn't made like dumb mistakes either. Not that Hurts has made a ton, but I just haven't seen like Mullins do like a lot that's like obviously bad and wrong. And now again, he's working against a 3rd-string defense, which you could argue I think is much tougher than what Jalen Hurts is working against. When you're factoring everything in there, but yeah, how do you feel about Hurts so far through 3 days?
Yeah, well, you mentioned all the valid throws, all the noteworthy throws today. The completion to Goddard. He also overthrew Goddard too. The throw that to Miles Sanders that you mentioned earlier is like a back shoulder throw, but not necessarily a back shoulder throw because it was purposely low. Mm-hmm. And then the overthrow to Greg Ward was a bad one. And then he had another throw in the middle of the field to Devontae, and that was off target, but somehow Devontae like reacted very quickly to it and sort of reached like down into his left and snagged it out of the air. He's very good. You can tell already, like, Devontae is a very good player.
And that was a short catch, right? That was only like 5 yards or so.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was a very easy throw to make, and he just missed them like kind of badly too. And Devontae caught it anyway. So yeah, I think the accuracy concerns are still very much there. We got to see improvement there. The one thing I will say is he hasn't taken off and run anywhere near with the frequency that he did when he was a rookie during camp last year. Now, we still do see a little bit of that from him, but mm-hmm. I think that the desire to want to get better at, you know, some of the things that he isn't as good at, which is, you know, some of the things, you know, just being sort of like a pocket passer. You don't want him to be a pocket passer in real games because you want him to be able to use his legs and make plays with his legs or whatever. But now is like the time to get better at the things that you're not super comfortable with. And I think he's done a good job at least doing that. So, I mean, through the first three practices, he's been up and down. And, you know, I don't think anyone can say that he's been bad. And I don't think anyone can say that he's been really good. It's just, you know, we'll see more as we go along, and there's going to be what, like 22, 23 practices that we'll be able to watch in full. And, you know, but early on, I would just say sort of up and down, which is about what I would have expected.
Yeah. I don't see any kind of like night and day difference from last year, if anyone was expecting that, but you know, it's 3 days and we'll see how he builds. I think he's, you know, again, his first day was his worst day, and he's gotten better overall since then. So we'll see
if he can kind of continue. Yes, I agree with that. He's definitely improved as we've gone along so far.
If he can continue to kind of stack those, and that'll be encouraging, but we'll see. Jimmy, why don't we get to our MVP, LVPs, and then play of the day, even though I think I spoiled some of this, which is fine, but we'll just kind of crystallize it here. I'm going to go with Nick Mullins, actually, as my MVP today, in part because of how bad Flacco was, and in part because, I think he's been the best passer so far. I don't even know if he's going to make the roster, but he's making a case for himself so far. Like, if he kind of continue, if it goes at this rate, Nick Mullins, without a doubt, should be the number two quarterback. I mean, I already think he should be to begin with, but like, it'll be like, there's no even dispute if it continues at this rate that he deserves it. So he's my MVP. Who's yours?
Mine's Josh Sweat, who's been very good so far in this camp, just in general. He had a play today where it was a toss play to the outside. It's almost sort of like a little bit of an option type of play. And he got up the field so quickly that he probably would have caught the toss and taken it back for a touchdown. But instead, Jalen Hurts recognized that that was what was going to happen. So he just ate it, and he just took the loss on that play. So Josh Sweat, that was the big play that he made today. Also saw some good pass rushes out of him. But yeah, he's had a good camp so far, and he carried that over into today as well.
My LVP is Joe Flacco, and I already kind of explained it. I don't think I mentioned that. So was Flacco throwing on the Huntley play? Is that what you were talking about earlier? It was kind of like
I don't know who the quarterback was on that.
Because maybe that's what that was. But to me, I saw Flacco throw behind Jordan Howard. And Jordan Howard clearly had to reach behind him on the throw to the flat. And then it was a play or two later where I also saw Jason Huntley not be able to get his hands on the ball. That looked like it was a heater. And it was also kind of thrown behind him. Maybe Huntley didn't, you know, get out of his break or whatever. It looked quick enough. But the Howard one, at the very least to me, looked like it was behind him. And how Flacco has had accuracy issues. So Flacco gets the LVP for me. What about you?
Oh, you know what we didn't mention, by the way? We should mention this quickly. Is Nick Sirianni stopped practice today to sort of ream the team out. And, you know, I think there were questions over whether he was going to have, you know, the whether he was just going to be like a rah-rah guy and like, you know, the rock, paper, scissors guy. And like, can he like hold players accountable and can he get on guys if like they're screwing up? And he did that today, or at least attempted to. So like, I thought that was, you know, sort of interesting to see. Like, he stopped practice and called the whole team together and he stood in the circle of the players and he got on them a little bit. So I think that was sort of an interesting to see on the third day of camp, no less.
He's very hands-on.
Yes, yeah. I mean, he's bouncing around from position group to position group throughout the entire practice. So, yeah, I think I've liked what I've seen out of him. And by the way, he's gotten far, far better in press conferences too. Like, I think, you know, after the first day of practice when he talked to the media, he was, like, way more comfortable than he's been all along. Anyway, I'll give my LVP to I'm going to go Carson Wentz.
Okay, that's fair. That's, I told you, we can do, you know, it's just for fun. Here, Jimmy. There's no rules.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. We're going to
give it to, I'll take Carson Wentz.
All right. You're going to give it to Carson Wentz. My play of the day, as I kind of already spoiled, is Davion Taylor kind of breaking up that throw to Hurts. I was kind of looking for something to see out of Davion Taylor because, again, he's been getting all these reps, which is nice. But, like, show me something. Like, why are you getting all these reps? And today I kind of saw it. So that was good to see. I think, if you're looking for pleasant surprises this season, a lot of people are expecting the Eagles linebackers to be like the worst in the league or some of the worst. And if Taylor actually can be good, even not, you know, a star, but can be like kind of good and exciting, well, that would be, you know, nice to see. And that would be a big deal.
Yeah, this isn't exactly a Joe Montana to Jerry Rice connection here, but I'm going to go with the Nick Mullins TD pass to Jack Stoll. over TJ Edwards in the, I thought, yes, it was a pretty pass. It was a good route by Stoll, and he got into the end zone. Short practice again, hour and 10 minutes. There weren't a lot of highlights today, so but that would be mine.
It is the first day of camp where Devontae Smith has not come up in play of the day. So poor Devontae. Although you kind of mentioned maybe an honorable mention nice earlier.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, Jimmy. Anything else here before we wrap up day three?
Nope. Let's. I'm going to have some beers. I'm going to enjoy a nice night of sleep. And we'll be back at it.
Yes.
On Saturday in a weird, rare 5:30 p.m. practice.
And we will have the post-practice podcast either up that night or the next day. We don't know yet. We're going to figure it out. We'll see, you know, what happens in practice and everything and just how soon we have to record. We're going to figure it out for you. But at the very, very least, it'll be up on Sunday, which is the off day for the Eagles before they resume practice again on Monday. So stay tuned for all that. And make sure you don't miss the episode by subscribing/following along with the BGN Radio podcast on the Bleeding Green Nation podcast feed. Leave a rating, review, all that good stuff. Follow me on Twitter at Brandon Gatton. Follow Jimmy Kemsky on Twitter at Jimmy Kemsky. Follow Bleeding Green Nation, phillyvoice.com for our practice notes. In addition to what we talked about here, there are some things in our notes that we don't talk about. So it's not just like we're reading the notes. Like, there's value in both listening to the podcast and reading the notes. And sometimes what we describe here. Yeah, give us the click. So go do that. And we will be back with you here soon. We'll talk to you next time.
Goodbye, everybody.
BGN.